All right, let's come on back together. I do have an iPad. Half the time I don't know why I bring it, but I have it. I do have a couple of things I'd like to pray for here before we get started. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Dakota's not in here, is he? It makes it way easier to talk about people when they're not in here. So, did he come? Oh, Dakota came in. I was just about to talk about you. You weren't supposed to come in. I'm not going to steal his thunder at all, but eventually I'm hoping he'll share his testimony because the Lord healed him. And, yeah. But I'm not going to force that testimony. We're just going to... Would you like to share it? Without, I mean, you don't have to go into any kind of detail. Just, I mean, let's give God some glory. So, I prefer having a guitar in front of me and being back there, but... let me just go grab it and put it on real quick. But, last couple weeks, I was having some health issues. I won't go into further detail, but I've been dealing with it for a couple years or so. And even before I was dealing with those health issues, I had a herniated disc in my lower back. The Lord healed me that years ago and stuff like that. So I knew in my heart what the Lord can do. And I've had two surgeries dealing with this. And Saturday night, I was in my room just worshiping and stuff like that and just constantly just dealing with this health issue and pain and everything. And as I was worshiping, the Lord put a verse on my heart, and it was Matthew 8. I thought I heard a 30, and the verse said, and it was a herd of pigs feeding on a hill. And I was like, no, that's not right. So actually, I felt I heard Matthew 8, and I read the beginning of the verse, and it was the story of the leper coming and running to Jesus and running to his feet and saying, Lord, you have the power to heal me if you choose. And immediately when he gave me, when I read that, the Lord gave me a picture of me worshiping here Sunday morning just down at the front. And came in Sunday, and Annie shared the testimony. I can't remember who it was, but she invited everybody or whoever needed a physical healing to come down to the front, and immediately I knew that the Lord was calling me to come down. And I came down and just worshiped, and it was, I was trying not to focus, you know, on either the pain or anything like that. You know, it's like focusing on whether or not it's still there. Is it healed, you know, or something like that. But just really focusing on what the Lord, just being in his presence and everything and like that. Did a follow-up later on. I mean, after that, I felt really good. And Monday, you know, still took my prescriptions or whatever like that, but no pain medication or anything like that. Went into the doctor, did a follow-up, and they said, no, it's gone. It's good, you know. We'll follow you up on a week to see how you're doing, but other than that, you're good to go. Yeah. So he's back at work. He's supposed to have a surgery. How long were you going to be out if you had to have surgery? So at least a week he was going to be out and off work. And so beautiful, amazing. I want to do something here in this before I go any further, but first thing I want to do is pray for Tina. Roxana's sister is having a procedure done, and just want to pray for her. And then she has a friend named Kimberly who was in the hospital in bad, bad way, and she's home now, right, but recovering, still not doing well. And so I just want to declare over them the goodness of God. And so would you just pray with me? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the testimony of your goodness, of your amazing love for us, God, that even when we feel like either we don't deserve it or we haven't done anything for it, Lord, your goodness comes. The grace of the Lord is there. And so we declare over Tina the grace of the Lord and healing and blessing over her life. We declare wholeness. And Lord, we come against anxiety and fear in her life in Jesus' name. We declare blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And we say to Kimberly to arise and be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring strength to her body. Release healing over her in Jesus' name. Amen. The whole purpose of a testimony is to bring glory to the one that you're testifying about. And the word testimony, we know, actually means, Lord, do it again, or do it again, God. And so I'm a firm believer that when God releases through us a testimony that is testifying to his goodness, he wants to do it again. So today, I'm going to give you a couple opportunities for that. But before I even start into this word, I want to ask, is there anybody in here? Actually, pause that one second. I want to explain something to you. John 10:10 says that we have an enemy, and that enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So anything that has death on it, the author is the enemy, right? I don't understand why things happen the way they happen. I don't understand why we go through some of the things we go through. I don't understand why God heals one and not the other. I just know this. He's not up there going, I like you, I'm going to heal you. Don't like you, I'm not going to heal you. It's not like that. There is no, like, you're better than this person, or you're doing better than that person, or you've done more good in your life, you balance the scales, I'm going to release healing. I do believe that we play a part in the whole thing, in that our faith somehow encompasses, or our faith is incorporated in the whole thing of releasing the healing and the glory of God. Again, don't know how all that works exactly. If I did, I probably would be very wealthy because I could write a book and everybody would read it and everybody would do it. I'm only playing. But I do want to ask this question. Is there anybody in here that needs healing today? That maybe you're... Okay, there's someone there. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Okay, here's what I want to do. There's a lot of us. I want to do this. I want... You are now going to be released to be the prayer team. This is not going to be the Zach show or the, you know, I got healed because Zach prayed for me. We're going to watch God do what God does through you, through me, and we're going to experience do it again, God. So if you're brave enough to raise your hand, would you please raise your hand if you need healing today, and I want you guys to stand up, find somebody who has their hand raised, and let's pray over them. I will pray, but I want you to also release prayer over them. There's plenty of people with hands up, and I want you to do this. When you go to them, ask them what they need prayer for, and then release a prayer of faith over them. So, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. There's someone back here, Larry, in the back. He needs someone to pray with him. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Worship you. Anybody who does not have somebody near them praying for them, please let me know so I can... Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you for your body. Thank you for, Lord, the blood of Jesus. We declare that over every person in here. We declare healing, blessing, release the kingdom of God upon each person in need today. We declare healing and blessing over you. Whatever your need is, today is your day. We declare healing and blessing and healing and blessing over you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive your healing today. Receive what the Lord is doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just seeing some arthritis and serious pain in your body being healed in the name of Jesus. So if that's you, if you have arthritis or bad joints, missing cartilage, I declare over you today a creative miracle in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As people pray for you, if it's something that you know, like you'd be able to tell if you were healed or not, check it out and see if your knee feels better, your back feels better, your neck, your arm, whatever it might be. If it's something you can't judge or know what's happening, that's okay. Just trust, believe in faith what God's doing in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody experiencing any kind of heat or any kind of healing happening in you that you know for sure? Nice. We have healing happening over here. Praise the Lord. Healing here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for doing it again. We worship you. Thank you that you're not done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today, I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Holy Spirit. It's going to be fun. Jesus. Yeah, he's our friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you. Sometimes what we encounter, what we experience as healing is an ongoing thing. It's a progressive thing. And I see you. You can come right here if you want. Come here.
My neck's been hurting for 3 weeks, and I have a chiropractor appointment. I finally made the appointment, and it feels better than it has in the 3 weeks. But it's been hurting. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So I want to encourage you to not let go, not give up. No matter how long it's been, no matter what you have or have not seen to this point, it's really easy. And again, pointing fingers at myself, I have had a 23 year ordeal with my right arm. And I have to tell you this, though. I was told 20 years ago that my arm was going to progressively get so bad they would have to fuse it in a, like, choose a position you're comfortable with your hand being in, which would probably be like handshakes, I don't know. And they would fuse it and you know, because arthritis and all this stuff, I'd be able to hold it, in the last
at least 10 years, it's actually progressively gotten better rather than worse. Yeah, I used to have daily, I would be in extreme pain. I had to wear different devices and heat and all that, and I don't have to deal with that anymore. Yeah, praise God. Even in the winter, everything, I'm so much better rather than worse. But I'm not settling for good enough, because God is not the God of good enough. You know? Yeah, exactly. And so the thing is whether he ever finishes the whole process and grows bone back, and because I'm missing 10 millimeters of bone in there, if that ever happens, I will worship him. If it never happens, I will worship him. It, my praise and adoration and love for God does not change based on what he does or does not do. I have to say that I need to pray for this before I start. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry that my ability to express how I feel and what I think is lacking. And my ability to express the awe that I have for you is, I don't have enough words. So today, as I begin to unfold a little bit about you, I pray that you would inspire it, that you would blow life upon it, and that when it hits our ears, it would explode into our hearts, and there would be life in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. I need to tell you this. The Word of God is inspired. Do you know what that word means? In Jewish, that wasn't the right term. In the days that the Bible was being written, so a couple thousand plus years ago, they were a little bit more crude in their medical understanding, and so when a person died, they would say they expired. In other words, they breathed out and they didn't breathe no more. To inspire is to take in breath, right? To expire is to breathe your last. So the Word of God being inspired means God breathed upon the Word and brought life to what was being written. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God did not sit down with a pen and write the Word? That He breathed life upon it. I believe in the inerrancy of the Scripture. I believe in Scripture as truth. And solid and infallible, and I fully believe in that, and I hope you do too. But I think the church has gotten way out of balance in something. I think that we have become comfortable with the idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Here's what I mean by that. If I were to go with you and sit down anywhere, have coffee, which I don't drink, but we could sit and I'll drink water and you can have coffee, but I'll have a warm beverage. And we were to talk and I were to ask you about God the Father, you would probably gush and God the Father, God, there's songs and Father and Son, and I understand all this. And if I were to ask you about Jesus, the Son, you would probably go on for a long time about the things you know, you understand, you feel, you've read. But if I were to ask you about God, the Holy Spirit, stop and think about that just for a minute. What would you say if I asked you, who is the person, Holy Spirit? If you listen to my verbiage, I have a hard time calling him the Holy Spirit because I don't call him the God, the Jesus. Right. He is Holy Spirit. He is a person, not a fleshly people person, but he has a personality. He's more than just shandarabasiteribiki. He's more than just what he can do or what he brings with him. He's actually he reveals something to me. And I want to share with you today what he comes and reveals as he's bringing with him all the stuff he brings with him. So I don't have a lot of time, but I feel this is too important to just be wrapped up in time. So if you will be gracious with me, I'm going to take my watch off. Was anybody alive in 1968? Okay. I wasn't. That's all I'm saying. I wasn't alive in 1968, so I cannot testify to what was happening in 1968 on a personal level. But I can read about it. And I did some research on 1968. And I'll tell you why I did research on 1968. 1968 was said to be one of the worst years in U.S. history. It was a massive turning point in our nation politically. It was a massive turning point in our nation even medically. Anybody ever heard of the Hong Kong flu? I had never heard of it, but I wasn't alive in 1968. The Hong Kong flu, do you know how many people were killed by the Hong Kong flu? Millions. Millions. Now, granted, in Alaska, in America, same thing, at least 100,000 people died. Now, that was just in 68, though. Okay, 69 had a little bit, too. But 1968, the country was in political upheaval. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Robert Kennedy was assassinated. We were in the Vietnam War. The Tet Offensive had just happened, which basically put back in our face, you will not win this. This is an unwinnable war. You're not going to get anywhere. The news began to declare, Walter Cronkite declared that it was a stalemate at best, the Vietnam War. They called the Vietnam War the TV war, I believe, is how they declared it to be, because people, for the first time ever in history, were able to sit in their living rooms because the majority of people had TVs in their homes at that point and watch what was happening on the news in Vietnam and the war going on in Vietnam. And then we had hippies and yippies and I don't know what all terminologies they had, but there was some weird terms that were thrown out there. But I don't know, maybe it was just the article I read. But all of this was happening. There was, for the first time, not ever, but the biggest generational gap took place starting in 68, where the civil rights and people vying for coming against authoritarianism, college campuses were erupting into people, you know, not wanting to be told what to do. They wanted relevant curriculum. There were riots and craziness happening all over in, listen to me, over 100 cities, riots broke out in 1968. Not much unlike what's happening in 2021. Not much unlike what has taken place in the last couple of years. And so I'm sharing this with you because I see this cloud like overtaking what's happening in our country over the last, especially year and a half, where hopelessness is, and there's something that's rising, and we as the church, I believe, are primed and ready to move into who we were created to be so that the world can be led through this thing in a way that it was not led properly in 1968. The chaos and craziness, there was an opportunity, and remember the Jesus People movement that took place in the 60s and 70s? I believe that all of this was a precursor. All the chaos and the craziness, I want to show you how Holy Spirit likes chaos and craziness. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We do not have to wait until Acts or the upper room or the day of Pentecost to see Holy Spirit taking place and taking action in the lives of people, in our earth, in creation. Genesis 1:1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, back up 1 second. In the beginning, God. God, the word there, God, is Elohim, which is a plural. You could have said it like this. In the beginning, gods create. Not gods like a whole bunch of weird gods. But it is a plural form of God because God is three in one, right? We've lost the whole Trinitarian thing. Let me share with you why. According to Barna Statistics, George Barna, almost 60% of American Christians who are regular churchgoers, not Christmas Eve and Easter, regular churchgoers do not believe that Holy Spirit is anything more than just a mystical power that was, we see every once in a while God do something, a symbolic thing of God. 60% do not believe in the person of Holy Spirit. We have lost Trinitarianism in the church as a whole, like vastly. No, not definitely not in this one. So in the beginning, all of God was there. How many of you, when you think about this, me included, because this is how my mind sometimes sees things, when I would read, in the beginning, God created, I could see this white beard, white dude, standing, creating, let there be, right? Maybe you don't. I know, I'm weird. Right? Sort of, it's like, but that's Zeus, guys. I'm just saying, like, that somehow these pictures get in our mind of what it must have looked like, at least, again, mine. Maybe I just need counseling, but we get these thoughts and these pictures in our mind of what it must look like. I don't think we have a clue what it must have looked like, but God, in the beginning, there was heavens and the earth He created. So, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Listen to this. And here's Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God hovered. It is the best anthropomorphic picture that I know to describe this is like a hen or a chicken brooding over its young or over it's literally like this, like and the terminology was without form and void is a picture of chaos. It was just crazy chaos developing, and Holy Spirit brooded over that to bring order upon chaos. 1968, chaos was erupting, and Holy Spirit was right there, going, I have a plan to bring order out of this chaos. And there were people who heard the call, who understood their sonship based upon Holy Spirit being in their life, that they stepped into what later became the Jesus People movement, who you and I actually are products of that very movement. There were millions swept into the kingdom of God because of people determining now is the time for order in the midst of this chaos. But let me tell you this. Here's where most of the church fell short. We have our traditions and our religiosities that are more about ideology rather than theology, and we get caught up in trying to figure out, like, how does this all fit? And that doesn't mean you got to cut. If you want to come in our church, you got to cut your hair. You got to stop this and don't do that and don't do this and quit that and change this and change that and do. And that's what people were fighting for. They were fighting for their right to be who they were created to be. Stinky, weird, smelly drug addicts, whatever they thought they needed to be. I'm not advocating for that. Please hear me. I'm just saying that that people wanted their individuality. And the church said, we need you to first become like us, and then you can come in and be a part of what we're doing. And Holy Spirit hovered over the chaos and said, I can bring order out of this. Quit trying to change them. Let me change them. Just bring them into me. Do you see? 2021 is not much unlike what was happening in 1968. There is a whole lot of chaos and a whole lot of disorder and a whole lot of craziness that's taking place. And if we as the church don't find ourselves partnering with Holy Spirit, who wants to partner with us, not so that we can try to make little minions or little people that look just like the rest of the church, but so that we can incorporate into... Look, I need you to hear what I'm about to say. I am not for things like, well, we just need to embrace sin and call it okay. I am not for compromise. I'm not for just let things go, don't worry about it. But I am 100% in favor of me loving people no matter where they are, because it's not my job to fix them, clean them, change them. It's not my job to try and get everything worked out of them before I suddenly go, now you're a Christian. This is great. Do you know that you can't even come to God unless the Spirit draws you? Listen, where'd that go? Is it John 6? It's John 6:44-ish, somewhere in there. I don't know. I got John in my head now. We're going to go there in just a second. But Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, we find out in a little bit, I wanted to share this scripture because this would get thrown in my face later. Well, Jesus said the Father draws them.
God is one. Did you catch that? I recognize that they all have their own personalities. They all have their own jobs. They do, if you will. I hate this terminology. I just don't know any others. But they are one. No one can come to a saving knowledge or understanding unless they're drawn there. This is what I love about the Spirit, though. The Spirit of God, He likes to, like, ambush people, right? Like, there's terminology in your Bible, like, rushed in, right? Fell upon. It's like, you're just walking along, minding your business, and all of a sudden, wow, you know? Like, I came here to do nothing but just hear a good word and eat some food and go home. And, like, God's like, I'm not done. I love that stuff. Okay, I'll settle down. Okay, good. Thank you. I needed somebody to be my cheerleader. Okay. So, but I want to bring a different understanding, something that I saw that I've never heard anybody speak on this, and I've never seen this before until yesterday. Luke chapter 15. I want you to turn there really quick. We referenced this last week, so it'll be a familiar passage. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. This is Jesus. He just told the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep. You guys remember me talking about this last week? Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. You guys know this story. Let me just tell you my version of it. He ends up in a pig pen. He's so hungry he wants to eat the pig's food. He comes to himself and says, what am I doing? Even the servants of my father's house have enough to eat and then some. Right? Like, they're not going without, and they're putting stuff in the fridge for later. Me, I'm a son, but I'm laying here in slop, and I'm hungry enough to eat the garbage they're eating. Something's not right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to the father, and I'm going to say, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of the servants or the hired help, and that'll be good enough. You don't need to tell me I'm a son. You don't need to give me any sonship type things. I know I squandered and wasted everything you gave me, but I'm hungry. Make me a servant, please. While he was still a long way off, right? The father, who I've heard this preached a bunch, went out every day looking to see when the son was going to come home, and I believe that fully. But he saw him when he was some way off, and he ran to him. He fell on him, and he kissed him. And he brought him into the house, and he called the servants together, and he's like, look, my son that was dead is now alive. Bring me a fatted calf. Go grab the robe, the best robe in the house. Go grab a ring and shoes for his feet. We're going to party, right? He tried. It says that the boy tried. Father, I've sinned against you and against God. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. And the father's like, nah, bring me all the stuff. Right? That's the way I read it. Now, I share this story with you because I want you to understand something that is so important. And it's found in two places, but the first place I want to turn to is Romans chapter 8. This story is going to make more sense to you in just a minute. Verse 15. For you did not receive
the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, to whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Some people, some translations, not people, some translations say Papa, some translations say Daddy. It's a sonship revelation that comes when Holy Spirit is released on you. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So, one more place I want to turn to you, Galatians 4, and I'm going to tie all that together so you understand why I shared what I shared. And this is just the beginning of... Maybe. Let me look at that scripture real quick and see if that's what I want. In a minute. First, we're going to read Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But if is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I'm going to read a little bit more in just a second. In John 14, Jesus is telling people He's going to go. God's going to send another. Right? I heard Bill Johnson teach about that word a long time ago. And he used an example, the word another. And the chair that you're sitting in is a chair, and this is another, right? That's not what that word is. The chair that you're sitting in, and the chair right next to it is another chair, right? Those chairs are identical chairs. The word another there has the connotation of an exact duplicate. Not another like chair that doesn't look anything like the chair that you've already had, but a chair that is identical to. Do you understand? Jesus says, God is going to send another. Some translations say helper. The Passion Translation says another savior. But I'm not sure how I feel about that. But it just came across my mind. God is going to send you another. Oh, I'll pray the Father. He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. Listen to what I'm telling you. There is something about sonship that the Spirit of God is released into us to first give us an understanding of. Let's go ahead and put that verse, we're still in Galatians 4, verse 21 up there. I did this in the Passion because I liked the wording, because I felt like it brought some clarity to what I wanted to say. This is verse 21. Tell me, do you want to go back to living strictly by the law? Haven't you ever listened to what the law really says? Have you forgotten that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave girl and the other by the free woman? Ishmael, the son of the slave girl, was born of the flesh or of the natural realm, but Isaac, the son of the free woman, was born supernaturally by the Spirit, a child of the promise of God. Listen to what I'm getting at here. We all come into the kingdom of God being drawn by the Spirit, and we immediately become sons and daughters, but we don't fully understand what that means. Then we get introduced to Holy Spirit, but generally we get introduced to Holy Spirit based upon all that He can do for us, all that He can give to us. And so then we start saying, I want all that you have, God. Without first receiving sonship, we want everything He has. A man had two sons. The younger of the two went to his father and said, Father, I want everything you have for me, but I want it now. He had no revelation or understanding of sonship, because when he was sitting in the pig's pen, he didn't go, I'm my father's son. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say I'm sorry, and I made a huge mistake. Can I please come home? He said, I'm not even worthy to be looked at as a son. He had no understanding of sonship, because all he wanted was all the accoutrements that came along with being in the Father's house. So when we treat God like He is our do what I want God, give me what I want God, we have no understanding of sonship. Holy Spirit is released to us initially so that we can understand positionally who we are. And if we don't first get that, forgive me for what I'm about to say, but we treat God like He's a prostitute. God, what do I need to do? What do I need to pay for to get your services? How do I need to ask? What do I need to pray? What do I need to do to get your services, God? Would you send Holy Spirit so I can speak in a new language? So that I can overcome the enemy? So that I can pray for things when I don't even know what I'm supposed to pray? I think sometimes the Bible says that the Spirit enables us to utter things that our flesh cannot understand because it's a heavenly language. And sometimes I think we're like, God, give me this. I don't know what to pray yet, but and we don't even realize we're going, don't give it to Him, God. Don't do it. That's a bad idea. Because we don't have an understanding of sonship. Sons don't have to beg. Sons don't have to go and fall down and go, I'm a terrible, horrible disappointment to you, and I'm really sorry, but can I just have a crumb? Can I just have a little piece? I know I messed up the last time you gave me stuff, but I promise I won't do that again. I mean, maybe if you just let me in the door and release a little bit of hope. Do you understand? Jesus said, I'm going, but it's better for you that I go, because otherwise He won't come. Who's He? He's the one who's going to lead you into all truth. If you're struggling to understand the Bible, stop reading it like it's a textbook to master. Begin to sit down and go, Holy Spirit, I understand that I'm a son and I'm a daughter, and you don't want to hide things from me so that I can't understand things. You want to reveal and open up truth and understanding of the Word to me. So today as I read, would you just explode inside of me what you need me to get out of this? And if you continue to struggle, turn the page. No, I'm kidding.
If you continue to struggle, continue to pray. Not from a begging standpoint, but maybe you need a little bit more understanding of who you actually are. That's what the Spirit of God initially was released for, so that I wouldn't find myself as some kind of slave over here, but understand that I'm a free, right? I'm a born son, brought into the kingdom of God, all authority released into my hands. But I'll tell you this much. God also will not release things... Generally speaking, God does not release things to you that He knows is going to be detrimental to you. Just like, I'm not going to hand to my, you know, 7-year-old child my keys to my car and say, yeah, go to the store, it's cool. You want some Pop-Tarts or something? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, see, it was two things. Pop-Tarts are bad for them and driving's bad for them. But you understand what I'm saying. It's like you've got this thing. We as natural parents know what's good and bad for our kids. How much more? How much more would our Heavenly Father be able to look at us and go, you can't handle that right now. That's too much for you. Just, I mean, yes, but wait. Yes, but first, let's process this a little bit. What I mean by that is process you a little bit, so that the maturity that you need to carry, again, I heard somebody, and I don't remember who it was, it could have been Bill Johnson that said this, but he said, the reason God doesn't allow, I don't like making such definite words like that. One of the reasons why God probably doesn't release to you that you see people healed of cancer every time you pray for them is because it would kill you. Meaning this, you would pray for people and suddenly word would get out and everyone would want you to pray. And so, you know, then you don't have time to pray for everybody and you got to sleep at some point, but people are going to be knocking your door down trying to get to you because you're known as the person who every person you touch gets healed. Do you see? I know that's a bit of a, like, okay, whatever. But I'm just trying to give you an example of things that we need to understand, that sometimes we want God to do things and we get frustrated with God for not doing things. We don't know who we are as sons and daughters. When we're like that, when we are there, we may have a understanding to a degree, but we haven't fully grasped yet that obviously this is not a good idea right now. Or obviously God sees something I don't. I'm going to continue to press. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to build. I'm going to continue. You understand? And I'm on this journey of sonship. And every time I begin to step into my sonship or daughtership, as it was, every time I step further into it, I begin to understand more and more about Him. And as I begin to have new revelation and new understanding, new things are released to me. Now, I say all that. I need you not to box all that up and not go, this is how it works every time. Because it's not. Sometimes it's somebody who knows zero about anything and suddenly they get radically saved. And Holy Spirit falls and crazy stuff happens, and you know what I'm saying? So we can't try to generalize it all and put God in a box, but I do want to say this, that today the main thing I wanted to hit is the understanding that yes, we saw Holy Spirit do some awesome things, and I believe that's only the beginning of what we're going to begin to see. I know that many of us in this room have seen things like that. We've seen greater things. We've seen more things.
I want to be in awe of God every time He does anything. Just like a little child who every time you go, there it is, there it is, ah, you do it again, there it is, you're like, how many times can I do this before? I'm getting sick of this, you know. Whatever. I feel like we've lost a bit of that luster with God. He shows up and He does something. We're like, yay. Can we do something bigger? Like, oh, you got, Dakota got healed. Yay. Cool. We're so happy for you, Dakota. Next. We don't understand our sonship. Because we're looking for God to be what He does instead of be who He is and do what He does. So everybody stand up. Gosh, I know, I just had so much more to say. So, what I feel that the Lord wants to do right now, I know that I need a greater understanding of my positional sonship, my who I am, and again, that I feel like I'm renewing this place of being in awe of who He is, of coming to His throne boldly, yet knowing that He's so much bigger, so much more, but that I'm worthy, but that He's so much bigger and so much more. And I'm not going to demand from you to perform for me to love you more. I'm coming to you as a son, as my Father, as God, all in one, that you desire to pour out all things upon me for my good, not just because I demand it or because I want it, but because I'm coming into alignment with my sonship, I'm asking for things that have been released from Him already. So as we declare them on earth, so they be on earth. So, I don't know exactly how to do this yet. I think what I want to do is, if you, the Lord wants us to respond. And so I want to invite you to respond to what He's doing. And I personally want to touch whoever comes down here, and I want to release over you what I'm sensing and what I believe the Lord imparted to me this week. I believe that my eyes were open to an understanding of sonship this week, that I don't need to demand my inheritance. I need to walk out my sonship. I don't need to demand or proclaim or declare things that He wants to already give me. I need to understand my sonship, step into the authority that He already has released to me, and begin to see things unfold inside of that. Responding to Him, releasing what He's telling me. Responding to Him, releasing, going where He's telling me to go. So, but out of sonship. So I want to invite you now. I'm going to pray and dismiss the service, but I want you, whoever wants prayer, I want you to come and just line up. I'll put my hand on you quickly and just pray for you, for what the Lord wants to do. So Father, thank You for the revelation of the Spirit of God and sonship and being sons and daughters today. And Lord, I pray that as we respond to You today,
Lord, that our eyes would be radically open, that our hearts would be radically touched, that we would have a greater level of understanding and revelation of who you are and ultimately who we are in this process. Thank you for the amazing miracles that were released in this house today. We do not take that lightly, and we don't look at it as like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. Lord, we rejoice. We're glad, but we give you the honor and you the glory, because we didn't do anything but be a conduit. So we thank you, and we declare today is a day of understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. You can stay if you want to stay, but I'm just...